Blog Talk Radio.
I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you. You have.
Well, hello and welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Today, this is your co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady of ProfitableStorytelling.com. I am calling from the thawing out Ozarks of Missouri. We've had some cold. I spent 4 days without water. It was an interesting time, and I'm glad everything is getting a little bit back to normal. And Gina Gaudio-Graves, their JV queen, our co-host, is off cruising. So we will not be hearing from her today. That's why I am here flying solo and really excited to bring you somebody who is absolutely awesome. Who I have for you today is Pam Ragland. She is someone who has a very special gift, and she'll tell us a little bit more about that as we go along. But in answer to her own needs, when she asked for help, she got it, and then some, in a very big way, and now is able to reach out and touch many, many, many lives and bring you easily into a transformed place without going through mucking around in the baggage and junk and whatever of your own life. She has a really powerful gift. And today, she has something new that I'm really excited about that she's sharing. In fact, just introduced it yesterday to people. She is going to talk with us in part today about how to become a money magnet and get yourself into that abundant mindset to where you truly can attract money instead of getting bogged down in your old unuseful beliefs about money and so forth. So I'm really excited to have Pam Ragland, and she does some wonderful things, including at AskPamRagland.com. She does some open calls for people and just many, many wonderful things. So Pam, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. I didn't know that you were in the Ozarks. I love the Ozarks.
Oh, well, every time you're coming through near Branson, be sure to let me know and we can get together.
Oh, yeah. We had our family reunion in Branson last year, so yes, I'll have to. My dad's back in Missouri, so cool. I'll have to come visit you when it's not freezing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when it's not freezing, preferably when it's warm. It's been pretty cold in lots of places in the country. I'm sure that Gina's glad to be on that cruise down in the Caribbean or whatever it is. So.
Very good. Well, thanks for having me. Well, you know, and I really appreciate it. I think this is a good time of the year to talk about money and what gets in our way and how we can attract more of it and things like that. And it really does fit in with relationships, too, because we're all interconnected. So without each other, there's nothing to trade.
That's right.
Just a form of trade.
And as far as marketing, you know, we talk about relationship marketing, but for anybody that is in business, whether you're just beginning to start your own little entrepreneurial adventure, as I like to call it, or whether you have a business that you're working out of your home full time or whatever, your beliefs and attitudes about money truly can affect your bottom line, can affect your profits, right, Pam? Because you can do everything right for your business, but if you have some attitudes about money that are hindering you, you can do everything right and not get the results, right?
That's right. And I'll share with you, if it's okay, if I share a little story.
Yes. You share all, you know, you're going to ask me if you can share a story. I'm a story lady.
I was thinking that. I'm thinking, who am I talking to? Of course, I want to share a story. That's right. So, you know, it's funny because I was talking recently with somebody and I was trying to explain to him kind of what I did. And at the meanwhile, he's somebody that likes food. And so I was saying something like, I said, I'm going to smoke a chicken. And he sends me this text back, and he goes, smoke chicken? He said, someone always told me that you can't smoke a chicken because it doesn't come out well. And I said, I don't know who told you that, but if you go to any barbecue restaurant or anything like that, and I love barbecue and smoke stuff, there's no one who smokes chicken. So I said, whoever told you that, basically that was their opinion of it. But the bottom line is, for years and years and years, he had believed that you could smoke fish and stuff like that, but you couldn't smoke chicken. And then not only that, he had told other people that you shouldn't smoke a chicken, right? And that is exactly how all these money beliefs that don't serve us come into being. I call it the smoked chicken thoughts, and so I love this story because it really is a representative of how somebody tells us something, we take it in, we believe it as if it's the truth, and there's no basis in truth for it whatsoever. You know, maybe
right.
The original person who smoked the chicken didn't do it right or had bad wood or smoked it for way too long or whatever. It's hard saying how they got that original belief or if somebody told them that. And, you know, there's another story that's kind of like this that is similar, where there's a lady she's putting a ham into the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And she cuts it in half. And someone says, well, why are you cutting ham in half? And she goes, well, I don't know. My mom always did it that way. So they would go and ask her mom, and go, well, why do you cut the ham in half? She goes, I don't know. My grandma always did it that way. And they go and ask the grandma, well, why do you cut the ham in half? And she said, well, because it wouldn't fit in our old wood stove. And so we have these, sometimes, you know, they're brand new things. Sometimes they're generations and generations of things that get passed down to us. And they don't serve us. And what I found is I started working with people. I've been helping people change for, I don't know, it's 20-something years now. I think it's like 27 years or something like that. I've been helping people change in various capacities. I used to work at corporations, and I did big transformations for big organizations, Fortune 100 companies. And all along, what's in common is that I've been helping people change and figuring out what is it that makes people tick and how do you help people change. And about 2000, I started this business. In fact, it's almost my 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
I know. It's amazing. I can't believe I've been at this for 10 years. But it's almost my 10-year anniversary. I started as a coach, and I just found that I felt like I was pulling teeth. I would literally hear these, we'll just call them the smoked chicken thoughts. I literally hear these smoked chicken thoughts in someone's head, and I would try the traditional things like affirmations and stuff like that to help get them out. And it seemed like, you know, 3 months later, we'd still be dealing with the same old thoughts. And,
yeah,
and then
smoke chicken. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that.
That's right. And, you know, applying it to business, I had a lady who, she kept getting laid off. And she was over in Ireland. She was one of my very first clients when I started this business 10 years ago. And I said, well, why do you keep picking these internet businesses? And she said, because she literally would hear this voice in her head, her mom saying, pick a secure job, pick a secure job. And in her mom's mind, an office job was secure. So she would pick these internet marketing jobs in these offices, and then she had been laid off 14 times. And I said, okay, well, you know, the evidence shows that,
working layoffs is not secure.
Right, that these are not a secure job. And she really wanted to work in the movies. But and I don't know if you know this, but they make a lot of movies over in Ireland. But
mm-hmm.
she wouldn't go.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't go work in the movies because she was afraid that she wasn't going to have, she'd hear her mom's voice going, oh, pick a secure job, pick a secure job.
My gosh.
I know.
Wow.
And I remember working with her and just seeing how much this was getting in her way. And I see this time and time again with all kinds of things, about money especially, because, you know, money has become a form of power in our society, right? If you have a lot of money, then we think that you're powerful. You know, like most people would think that Donald Trump is powerful. It doesn't mean that he really is. We would just think he's powerful because he's got money. And so
right.
by the reverse of that, if we don't have enough money, then we don't feel as powerful.
Right.
And so really what it is about money is it's a representation of our power. But unfortunately, we have these smoked chicken thoughts. What I started doing was measuring how much gets in our way. And what I found, this was back in 2003, because I was just asking the question, how do I know how much I'm helping my clients? And back in 2003, I found that 97.4% of all of our thoughts are these smoked chicken thoughts that get in our way.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, wow. I was
That's
astounded.
A
it's a huge amount. It only leaves, what is it, like 2.6% difference that are not. And then I found that 96.4% of those, or almost all of them, were hidden in the subconscious. So I said, no wonder. If we create our life with our subconscious, we create our life with our thoughts that we put out, and I believe that we do. And
mm-hmm.
mostly we're putting out stuff that isn't really true, but someone's
mm-hmm.
told us it's true, we think it's true, it's been passed down to us, then no wonder we're getting a whole bunch of stuff that we really don't want.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. And when you think about, really, the subconscious is very powerful, but what are you going to be able to do consciously if you have all this subconscious stuff, right? You can do all the affirmations and all the talk therapy in the world, but if you're not getting beyond and into the depths of inside of you, it's just not going to be a permanent change that you'll hold on to.
Right, that's right. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what's happening. A lot of people, you know, I get these emails all the time from people. They'll say, I've gone to this person, I've done EFT, I've done NLP, I've done the release method, I've done, you know, hypnosis, et cetera, et cetera. They tell me all the stuff that they've done. And it really hasn't made that much of a change for me. Or it made a little change, but it didn't do it for very long. And I'll explain to them, well, that's just, it's a numbers game. It's because you have so much stuff that 97.4% of what I call negativity or the smoked chicken thoughts, basically negativity is, if you think of a battery, all mm-hmm. everything on the plus side is helping us effortlessly attract our life and manifest it the way that we really choose to have it. And everything on the minus side is getting in the way of that.
Right.
So I call it kind of collectively negativity. It doesn't mean you're a drag or anything like that. It just means that there's a force working against you. And because we have such a huge force working against us and we haven't learned how to consciously live in that space, you know, even when we don't have those thoughts in our way, we have to learn to recognize them. So, you know, when someone gives us a smoked chicken thought, we have to go, well, wait a minute, why do you think that? And we have to refuse to believe it, because as soon as we take it back on again, you know, even, I mean, I have this process called thought shifting that literally erases all that stuff. But, you know, I teach my clients, a good part of what I do is education, because even erasing all that stuff, if you don't recognize it for what it is, you can bring it back on. You're never going to bring it back on like the extent that you have it, because what I found is that 97.4% is 3.5 million negative thought clusters. So we tend to learn things in groupings. We learn, you know, what something, we associate smells and tastes and emotions and things like that with thoughts. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so those get grouped together into groups of things that are clusters. And we have 3.5 million of those. So when we're working and doing things like one by one, affirmations, visualizations, whatever, where we have to identify something and get rid of it, it's just a numbers game that even if we only had 3 million of those and the average person has more, that it would still take us 2,136 years to get rid of all that if we worked on 100 a day. So
yeah,
it takes,
that's just a lot. Yeah.
Right. It's just too much. So I was gifted with this thing called thought shifting to be able to speed up that process for people so that they could create a real change. And then what happened with the money thing was, it was kind of interesting. My my grandma died and my mother died kind of within a year apart from each other, and I had to be responsible for both their funerals. And at the same time, I was really well, it's kind of a long story. I won't tell the whole story. But I was doing a lot of what I would call caretaking in my business, and I really had a big major shift whenever my grandma passed away. I had, for the first time ever, I canceled one of my groups to spend the night at the hospital with my grandma, and she did pass the next day. And my grandma was like my mom to me. And she wasn't sick or anything, so it was a big shock that she had a heart attack and died, because there was nothing wrong with her.
Right.
So some of my clients got mad at me because I canceled my group, and it just put me into this tailspin, because I gave them the session at the end. I gave them an extra recording, but they wanted me. And I just decided for a while that I wasn't going to work with anybody. Well, financially, that wasn't necessarily the best decision, so I kind of combined that with paying for two expensive funerals over a year period of time, and all of a sudden I found my resources gone. And I turned to what I call my divine guidance, or what I call my pals, and I just ask for help. And that's where this money meditation came from. And, you know, it was amazing. Within 2 weeks of doing it, I had attracted $20,000. And I just went, wow. And
wow.
I mean, I've done that a couple times, and every time it's tripled. So
wow.
I'm just, which is like so cool to me, because, you know, I'll just go along like most of us do, and all of a sudden I go, you know, I really need to focus on that. And then as soon as I start focusing on it, it just comes. Now, of course, I've been what I call shifted with the thought shifting, so I don't have all that negative force in my subconscious, so it comes faster. But that's really where this money program came from. And then I saw somebody share some money meditation for the recession or whatever, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea. I could share my money meditation. And it became this thing where I realized that people didn't know anything about me. I had to set some context, so I kind of created an entire program around it. And that became what I have now, the Be a Money Magnet audio. And I'm actually doing a workbook right now for people to help them with that. So what I, you know, I'll go back to money is that, you know, money is power. And what happens is, again, when we don't have it, we feel disempowered. And it's so interesting to watch what's happening in our society right now, because so many things are shifting. And that gives us such a huge, huge opportunity. You know, when I left, I was a consultant for one of the top four consulting companies in the world. And when I left, I always had wanted to start my own business. And it was really negativity that kept me from starting it in the first place, because I was afraid that it wouldn't be successful and all that. But when I left, you know, I had no idea that I was going to be here 10 years later. I just no idea. You know, the fact that I have this, what's basically a gift, this thought shifting, was a big old shock to me. But there's a lot of power in that, because part of the reason what I'm able to do with people is get right to the root cause of it and erase a lot of stuff, or erase all of it. Okay, no one else can do that. And part of the reason is because I didn't have any of those, what I'm going to call the smoked chicken thoughts around helping people. So, you know, since I've been doing this work, people would come to me and they'd say, well, you know, you can't do that. You can't remove past karma. You can't, you know, remove, like, things from past lives. You can't remove everything in this life and blah, blah, blah. And I go, well, I'm doing it. So apparently I can.
you can smoke a chicken. Yes.
That's right. But, you know, if I had gone down the traditional path, because I really, my degree's in business, I was transforming companies. If I had gone down the traditional path of just sort of learning, like a lot of people that are here helping today have, if I had gone down that traditional path, I would have been told all these things about how it should be done or how it shouldn't be done. And if I had believed them, I would not be able to help people to the extent that I can help them right now. And, you know,
that
part of, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's part of my message for people, is because we're so entrenched. Like, it's interesting. I have clients that are doctors and lawyers and things like that, and some of them have the hardest time because of the education that they've been given about how things should be.
Right. That's very true. You know, a lot of times the most educated people that I know, too, as far as coaching clients, and if somebody is going to write a book or they're going to do whatever, and they have a lot of book learning, and I have a lot of book learning too, but I have a lot of mystical traditions and other kinds of things that have played in there as well. And I really know that just book learning can be a trap if you let it limit your ideas on what is possible. And I always think it's funny how someone says, well, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, you just did. So apparently it was possible, because it just happened. It just did. And I would imagine, do you run into people going, well, how can you clear all that negativity and all that stuff, and how do you know for sure that it's done? I would imagine you get a little skepticism from some people. I think we just lost our guest. She will call back in, no doubt. Sorry about the dead air, folks. Yeah, here we go. Okay, 1 second, guys. We'll bring her back. Okay, hang on. Come on, open up the line. Open.
Did we just all get knocked off?
Yeah, no, you did. I didn't. I don't know why. And that was kind of funny, but I'm glad that you're back.
That was weird because all of a sudden I was like, oh, quick, okay. You were starting to ask me about people.
You mentioned that people already kind of go, well, you can't do that. You can't clear all that stuff. So, I'm sure that you do get that skepticism from people, and you obviously are very effective, and you actually have done so much actual documentation and study about this process, and I'm going to have you talk about that. But before I do, Pam, I just want to pause for a moment. I want to give our listeners the link, which is for, you have, first of all, 5 free audios that people can experience, and then, of course, they can choose to pick up the program. But you give a wonderful series of 5 videos, and you can find that at profitablestorytelling.com/moneymagnet. profitablestorytelling.com/moneymagnet is where you can find her 5 free videos and find out more about the program. And you did, you started off with someone who never worried about money before those things happened to you, and then all of a sudden it had been a concern, and then you received this gift. I'd love for you to talk some about the research that you did on the amount of negative thoughts and how what you do clears that away for people. I'd love you to share some of that, if you would, please.
Yeah, sure. So what I did is I was working with my clients, and I was hearing, as I said, so I'll go back to my client from Ireland, where I was hearing her mom's, I would literally hear her mom's voice in her head. And I just thought all coaches worked like this. And I started attending this workshop, and I found out about this machine that was supposed to remove negative thoughts. So I started investigating it, and I went to one of their classes, and pretty soon I realized that most of the people in the room were, even though they were coaches, they were, and coaching was way new back then, back in 2000. Most people had never heard of it. And most of the people sitting in the room were completely unaware of the fact that people had negative thoughts and it was running their life. And I just went, wow, I'm operating at a different level. Like, I could just see that. And I said, okay. And I just knew that what I wanted to do, well, let me step back for a second. When I started this business and I decided to become a coach, I said, what makes me unique? There must be something that's different about me. And besides that, I have all this business experience and I help people transform their businesses and stuff like that. And I always get business ideas for people that make them money. Besides that kind of thing, I said, what is it about me that makes me unique? And I looked at the work I had done in corporations and I said, and with people, and I said, oh, it's helping people change quickly and effortlessly. So all over all of my letterhead and stuff like that, that's what it said. Helping people change quickly and effortlessly. That was my logo or my little tagline thing. And then I was sitting there with my clients, and I eventually did get this machine that was supposed to remove the negative conditioning because I wanted to help my clients as quickly as possible. And I said, well, how do I know? How do I know how much I'm doing? And I just got this. It was really an intuitive hit that said measure negativity. So I've already explained that, those smoked chicken thoughts. And I began measuring, and I was shocked at what I found. And this is where I found out that the average adult had 97.4% of all their thoughts were negative. My clients ranged from 93.1 at the low end, which was rare, to 99.9% of all their thoughts were negative. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I started doing it using a thing of when I used to see people in person. I would use a thing called muscle checking or kinesiology, and I would just check it on them. And I would just show them, and they would be shocked. And I was shocked. And so that's how I started back in 2003. And I've literally done thousands of measures since then. I've recorded everything that I've done with people as far as the measures are concerned, even random people that I might meet in, some restaurant or airport or whatever, and they want to know what their negativity is. And then I began measuring other things. That's when I started measuring how many of our thoughts are in our subconscious. And all these measurements led me to other discoveries. I measured, the number of what I call negative thoughts or thought clusters. I measure how on purpose people are. I measure a thing called frequency, which is basically a measurement of your, not really your abundance, but of your capacity to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have, we could talk the entire time about frequency because it's so fascinating. Whenever you feel heavy or low, that's your frequency. Whenever you feel light and airy, that's your frequency. Whenever you go in nature and you feel good, you, that's because of frequency. Whenever someone says they pick up a vibe from you, it's your frequency. So it's fascinating. And basically, the higher it is, the more powerful you become and the better that you feel. And most
of us are in fear, you know.
Exactly. And fear is actually a frequency, and most of us are walking around in fear as our highest capacity, so that's one reason it's hard to get out. And there's a relationship between the negativity and that frequency. It holds you down. So when children come into the world, they come in with the high frequency. And then as the negativity piles on, and it does, by the time we're five, we have 61% of our lifetime thoughts, and already one-third of them, or more than a million clusters, are already negative by the time of five. So one of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to identify these things with traditional methods, besides it's a numbers game, is that so much of it comes in early. And we don't remember all that stuff that happened so early. We just don't.
It just is frequency, and it weighs us down, and we don't realize it. And we're also very young and don't have the capacity to know, oh, that's negative, I don't need to take that on. So it ends up literally weighing you down, weighing you down and lowering your frequency, doesn't it?
That's right. And not only that, up until about the time you're 5 years old, your brain waves are actually operating in a different wave place. They're almost like under hypnosis. So you're literally designed, we're literally designed to take everything in and not filter it. And, you know, any of us that have kids, about the time when your kids start questioning what you have to say, that's about the time whenever their own consciousness kicks in. But up until then, they're literally taking everything in. And this is because there's so much to learn, right, in the first 5 years. You have to walk and talk and what colors are and, you know, what all the objects are around you. There's a whole lot to learn. I have two kids.
Right.
My kids are 7 and 8. So, you know, just watching that process, there's an amazing amount of things that they learn. And
right.
But they're actually we have to be the filter. And you know, I tell a lot of parents, it's like, if they don't think that TV and things like that makes a difference for their kids, it absolutely does. You know, they just did a study yesterday. They announced on TV, I forget who did it, but they just it was a group of pediatricians. I think it's going to be in the Journal of Pediatric Medicine, but I'm not exactly 100% positive about where it's going to be published. And they showed that what happens on TV or in movies, the actions that people take influences kids. Well, of course, I've known this for years, right? But this is where if they, for example, if they don't put on their seatbelt in the movies, the kids notice that they don't put on their seatbelt, but not necessarily consciously. So they're learning, they're modeling. We learn by modeling behavior around us, by hearing things. And then we also come up with our own assessments about stuff, when we're younger. And those are all different ways that the negativity gets in. So now TV and things like that, that's just another form of modeling. We're modeling that behavior just like we would from our parents. So if you see our parents worrying about money, or we see our parents, you know, saying, you know, that we're broke, or money doesn't grow on trees, or any one of, you know, hundreds of different negative things that we say about money all the time, up until about five, we're just picking it up automatically. It's back there in our subconscious, sitting there, and we don't even know it's there. And, you know,
right.
I'll work with people, and it's so interesting how so much of this is subconscious, and I'll tell people, you know, if your spouse says that you do something and you think you don't, you probably do. Because you're so much operating by subconscious. We have all these automatic habits, and most of them are negative and they don't serve us. And, you know, people will say things to me, and I'll say, well, you just told me blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, no, I didn't. And I'll say, yes, you did. And they don't even know they're saying it. Like, so many times I've wanted to just record my clients and say, okay, let me play that back for you.
Yeah, I know. I've been there too.
Exactly, because they would be shocked. And I will tell people, you know, that's one of my tips, is that if you wonder what you're saying to yourself, you know, write it down or walk around with a little digital recorder and start talking out loud, because you'll be pretty shocked at what's coming out of your mouth.
And that's a good way to catch yourself, and you'll notice by the things that you say inside your head or that you say to other people, that really does reveal quite a lot about your mindset and what state that you're in. I mean, even things like when I had no water for a few days because the pipes froze and I had some issues and whatever, a few people were like, oh, man, I bet you were just mad as can be. And I'm like, no, that never occurred to me to be angry. It was just, it is what it is, and you just dealt with it. But it was so funny. They were like, oh, man, I just would be just, oh, wow, what would I do? It was hysterical. And I'm like, okay. Difference of mindset. It is interesting how what you say or what you say to yourself inside your head or out loud if you live alone and talk to yourself or whatever, it does show quite a lot about your state of mind and your state of abundance, and I'm sure about your frequency.
Right, that's right. Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's the thing is that there's so much of that. That, again, we're completely unaware of it. What's fascinating to me, I have all my clients before I shift them, I have them do an assessment, and they think I need all that to shift them, but I don't. I'll tell them, this is for you, because you're going to go back and read this in 6 months, and you're going to go, oh, my gosh, that was me? And you're not even going to recognize yourself, because so much of what we're doing is subconscious. We don't even know it. And one of my clients just told me, I have a reshift group because I have two ways I work. One is I remove particular issues, which removes about 25 to 50% of all your negativity in one fell swoop, which is still huge, or I remove it all. And when I remove it all, I have a recipe, and I'm doing all kinds of other things too. Pretty much if there's anything anybody's doing on the planet and I know about it in terms of some type of healing modality or whatever, I've got it wrapped into my recipe and I can do it. I'll hear about something and go, oh, you know, I'd include that, balance the chakras or whatever. I keep that as a trade secret, but the truth is, even if I gave it out, people wouldn't be able to do it.
They couldn't do it anyway.
I know, it's just a level of protection. But so I have this trade secret recipe, and what happens is when that is not just removing the negativity, it's all kinds of other stuff. And I'm physically rebalancing the body, and so I've seen results with all kinds of things that are physical. People ask me, are you a physical healer? And I'm like, no. But people often have physical results, because when you get rid of the root cause of the problem, then the rest of it is gone. And I don't know if you know this, Rhonda, because we haven't really ever talked about it, but I actually wrote a book about addictions. And the reason I wrote a book about addictions is because I found out by accident when I was shifting people that their addictions were going away. So I wrote a book called The Seven Whys of Addiction. It's about why addiction happens. But it's like that. What happens is you get rid of the root cause, and it has all these other effects because of it. And so people don't realize. And one of the first things that happened with me was I quit planning for parties, and this may seem silly, but I used to just obsessively work. I don't know if it was obsessive, but I would be stressed if I was having people over at my house or whatever. And I remember I had a live-in nanny. She was turning 65, and I was having a party for her. And my kids were 2 and 3. And the day of the party came, and I said, oh, I'm having a party today. I guess I had to figure out what people want to drink. Now, I had thought I had enough to get a cake, but I was like, oh, well, my kids' toys are out. Well, people know that I have kids. It's okay. And I just, like, all my stress was gone. And I went, wow. And I stepped back. And, you know, then Thanksgiving came, and my grandma was over. This is before she passed, of course. And she was over, and she said, oh, it would have been nice to have sweet potatoes. I was like, oh, yeah, that would have been nice. And, you know, again, I would have done the menu, like, 1 or 2 months in advance before that and thought about everything and all that. And I just made a note of it, and it was no big deal. Christmas came, the same thing. I ended up planning a block Christmas party. I was probably, like, the busiest person on the entire block. I'm a single mom. You know, my kids were 2 and 3. I'm doing all this stuff, doing Christmas, and I had no stress. And I just went, wow. And I didn't realize that things like planning for parties or planning for people coming over could be negativity. But, you know, when I thought back on it, my ex-husband pretty much told me, I hate it when you have people over because you're always so stressed. So, you know, again, he was seeing something I wasn't seeing. He was right.
Right. And even if it's a positive thing, like having people over, which could be, generally speaking, would be a nice thing, but yet it does have a level of stress. And there is, in fact, I was writing about this in my blog last night, some of the things that happen, even if you have a good mindset about it, you may just have a little low-lying background kind of stress about it that you're not even really realizing until whatever it is has gone or passed or changed.
Right. That's right. Exactly. And sometimes you never notice it because it just goes by and it happens and you don't realize. Because, you know, again, if you don't recognize it as negativity, you don't even get that you're stuck. Like one of my, and this is why it's so important to understand these concepts along with getting rid of the negativity, because one of my clients, I had shifted them, and I shifted them all the way. I call that level 4 quantum thought shifting, and that's all I used to do. And then I've kind of gone back and done these groups now of what I call level 1, 2, 3, and 4, where I do the shifting starting at level 2. Level 1 is education. And I'm sort of stepping people through a little bit more because the change is such a big change that I found that for some people it's helpful to step through it a little bit more. So it's not quite so dramatic of a change. And then I give you a lot of education because when I'm shifting, oh, I didn't mention this, the negativity is coming out of the subconscious. So your subconscious thoughts go from 96.4% to 0.6%. What that means is that suddenly you become more conscious, and suddenly your conscious thoughts matter more. Well, this is great if you're used to focusing them in a way that serves you. But if you're not used to focusing them in a way that serves you, which most of us are not, then if there's a sudden automatic immediate barometer because all of a sudden you don't get what you want. And so that can be very frustrating. So a lot of what I do is education for people to teach them how to be in that space. And so I had this client, and he's a chiropractor. And after I shifted him, level 4 shift, so I shifted him all the way, his business went in the tank. And he calls me for a coaching buzz part. And I do all my programs, I spread them over time because I know that this is going to happen, that you're going to suddenly realize your thoughts are more powerful. You're going to either create something you want or something you don't, and I'm there to support you through that process, okay? So so he calls me and he goes, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm making, you know, a lot less money, blah, blah, blah. So he took a look at it and he goes, well, you know, the really good chiropractors don't make money. And I said, stop. Immediately, so you can see the issue already, and so could I. And I said, so, do you think you're a really good chiropractor? He says, oh, yes, and he talks about that for a minute. So you think you're a really good chiropractor, and you think the really good chiropractors don't make money, so therefore you are suddenly not making any money.
Uh-huh.
And he stopped. And he goes, but everyone says that in chiropractic. Well, that's why they call it a field, because it's a field of thought. The chiropractic field, the field of thought is a collection of thought. And what happens is we tap into that and then we believe it, whether it's our family or whether it's our city or whether it's our United States has their own field of thought. Wherever there's a collection of people, there's a field of thought. And this isn't something I'm making up. This is something that science is actually based on. Physics and quantum physics both recognize the existence of fields, of energy fields. Yeah, and fields of thought. And they call them different things. They might call them, you know, the quantum field or whatever, but, you know, they recognize the existence of this collection of energy that's already out there. So he was tapping in to this collection of energy in the chiropractic field that says, hey, if you're a really good chiropractor, you don't make any money. And because he had already been shifted and his thoughts were so much more powerful, he created it like that.
Instantaneous manifestation, basically.
That's right, exactly. And that's exactly what happens, you know, when you're shifted. And that's great as long as you're creating something that you want and you're focusing on something you want. And it's not so great when you don't. So I spend a lot of time, really a lot of my time, like I'd love to be able to just shift people and just be done. But I spend a lot of my time supporting people and helping them see where their thoughts have kind of gone awry so that they can make the most benefit of, you know, get the most benefit from their shift. And that's where the money CDs come in also, because even my clients that have been shifted need to learn how to think differently about money, because we've been thinking a certain way about money for a very long time.
Yes. Yes.
And that certain way has not been serving us. Yeah, go ahead.
And we get it from a lot of different arenas too. And this is what I don't know that people really think about it. We were just talking about the fields of thought or of energy or whatever. And so you get one thing from whatever religion or spiritual path you were brought up in. And for many of them, that is that being rich is bad, being poor is pious and wonderful, and you can serve God better as a poor person than blah, 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 and all that stuff. That's in many different spiritual paths. So you're getting it from that angle, depending on what tradition you were in, but you're getting something from that angle. Then you're getting whatever it is that your parents often said without even thinking. That might have been, money doesn't grow on trees, you know, or you have to work hard. The harder you work, the more. There's a commercial even that says something about, you know, if you work harder to earn more money. And it's like, well, that's one way to look at it, but it's not the only way.
That's
so
right.
You get things from your family. You get whatever you have learned from your profession, like this chiropractor that said all good chiropractors don't make very much money. The good ones don't make any money. So you're getting it from many different arenas, right? And you then are left with all this gunk in your subconscious trying to sort it out.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what happens. But the thing is, we're not sorting it out because there's so many thoughts in our subconscious.
Right.
We're only aware of about 1% of what's there. So the negativity, the difference in is, you know, 97.4 to 96.4, it's about 1%. So you're aware of about 1% of the negativity and all the rest of it is hidden. That's why going mm-hmm. through the methods where you have to identify it one by one just don't work. I mean, it'll work to a certain extent, but then after that, there's all the other stuff. You know, even Trump. I mean, look at Trump. Trump's got negativity around money. How many times has Trump, at least twice that I know of, made all of his money and lost it all? That's negativity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He knows how to earn money. So he's got positivity or positive thoughts around knowing how to earn money and knowing that he knows how. So he'll always bounce back.
Right.
But how much more money would he have if he never lost it in the first place?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And if he could just keep it and keep growing it more instead of losing it and just knowing that he could make it back again in a heartbeat.
That's right. That's right.
The amount of energy that takes that wouldn't have to be spent. So it's the interesting thing. And a lot of people, I've heard of people who have been had a lot of money because of whatever, whether it was from their profession or whatever, and then been homeless for a period of time and then had to relearn how to take care of themselves in a whole different way. What if you could just not have to go through all that, no matter where you are on your beliefs about money or you're having it or not having it or whatever? And that's what you're giving people, that gift through your Be a Money Magnet CD program, is having that way of getting into a different space about money without having to one by one examine all these different beliefs and smoked chicken stories you're telling yourself. You know?
I know. When that guy and I were discussing smoked chicken, I bet he never knew I was going to turn that into a story.
Yeah. It's so funny. And that was really cute how those things could stick, and that's a great way for people to remember it. But, yeah, it's all these smoked chicken stories.
That's right. And, you know, I happen to love smoked chicken, so the fact that he couldn't smoke a chicken... I love smoked stuff. In fact, one of my favorite, I'll do an advertisement, I love Oklahoma, one of my favorite restaurants is in this barbecue restaurant that does smoked stuff, this little teeny town in Oklahoma, and I'm like, we must save the town because I want to save that restaurant. It's called like Ed's or something like that. And they have yummy smoked chicken. So, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so and that's exactly what happens is that, you know, we really have two things. Actually, I have a process that I call ROCK, and I teach about this in my level one thought shifting programs. And this is, it's the foundation to us being able to create our lives, is what I call the masterpieces that we're meant to be. So how I view it is that we all came here as a masterpiece, and then what happened is little by little someone threw paint on us, and that's the negativity. And I have actually these charts that I show. You know, you come in with this much negativity. Some people come in with what I call soul debris, or stuff that you bring in already kind of on your, at the energetic soul level. Some people pick up things in utero. You start picking it up. When you already have it and you come in, it's like a magnet, and it's already attracting stuff from the second you come in. And you know, you'll see people, like, it's amazing to me because I'd say, gosh, I wonder when that negativity starts coming in. And I remember I had my daughter and mommy and me, and there was this little boy, and he was 2.5, and I was out on the playground, and there were these kindergartners at the school that we were at, and one of the kindergartners called him a baby, and this little kid just crumpled. And I said, oh, my gosh, and he was maybe 3. No, it wasn't even 3. He wasn't even 3 yet. And so I went over to him and I said, you know what, I know he said that to you, but he doesn't even know you. Don't listen to that. And, you know, it's not true. So you just don't listen to that. And so he went about playing and everything, and it made him feel a little bit better. But I could still tell that he wasn't exactly himself. And so I told his mom what happened when she came out. And she said, oh, things like that happen to him all the time. And I thought, oh, my gosh, he's not even 3, and he's already attracting negativity in this circumstance. Anytime you see a pattern that gets repeated, you know that that's negativity.
Yes.
And I just went, wow. And then I started doing all these charts where I kind of said, I started measuring kids and finding out when the negativity comes in with kids. And that's how I found out, you know, we have 61% of our lifetime thoughts by the time we're five. Because most of the psychological research says we have about 50%. But I said, you know, I think it's more. Because when I do the level two process, I used to work this way where I would get to the root cause of the issue. So I've gotten a lot of insight just by working with people into what kinds of issues come in. And, you know, where that negativity comes from and what that looks like. And I would say, you know, most of what I see is 0 to age 4. And you'll see, if people go to my AskPamRaglan.com to those calls that I do, I actually answer people's questions and tell you, you know, what the root of that negativity is. And you'll see it on all those calls. I've got a year's worth of archive calls, and invariably it's the same thing, 0 to age 4. Where the issues come in. And sometimes they're, you know, that people come in with the issue, soul debris, or I guess what you call a past life thing, if you believe in that, which I never used to, but I do now because I've seen too much of it. So sometimes you'll see that, but mostly it's something acquired in this life, but every once in a while it is. In fact, I've had like 3 people in the last day that had past life things or soul debris kind of things that talked to me, so there's something to that. So, you know, then it starts carrying over. And then we're not aware it's there, and we don't know that we can get rid of it. And even if we consciously knew what the thought was, we're not questioning our thoughts. So one of the things I tell people is question everything. Like, just because someone tells you something doesn't mean it's true. You have to know, well, why do they think that? You know, the smoked chicken thought. Why did the guy think that in the first place? Whoever told him that, why did they tell him that? You know, if he would have said, well, why do you say that? Why do you say you shouldn't smoke a chicken? Maybe they would have gotten down to the bottom of the fact that the guy didn't even know how to do it right or something. You know, it's hard telling. So just asking those questions and saying, you know, well, why do you say that? And, you know, I'm kind of like one of those, you know, if anybody has kids and the kids ask questions, why? What happened for me is I never stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. No one ever conditioned me, because it's conditioning, because kids are naturally curious. No one ever conditioned me to stop asking why. And so I've continued to do it in my entire life. And because of that, I have just questioned things and gone, but wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And really been able to discover these other things. So, you know, I know it's irritating for sometimes people around me because I don't take things that people tell me at face value. It's not that I don't trust them, but if it doesn't have this certain sense that, okay, yeah, and basically if it's not in line with universal laws, that's what I tell my clients, if it's not lined up with universal law, it's not so. Because universal law, the definition of it is that 100% of the time, this is how the universe operates. So if it's not true 100% of the time, it's not true.
Right. And a lot of times I'll tell people, well, and I use a lot of different examples from nature and telling stories about it, which I do for a number of reasons. But one of which is something that I don't even really tell people very often. It's that when you understand that something is true in the world around you, it's easier to believe that's basically how it's going to work for people, and it can, you know, it can help pass stuff. Because most of the weird beliefs and mix-ups that we get are just people not understanding or somehow thinking it's going to be different for people than it is for the world around you. And it's easy to get in our own way. And in business, this really can, you know, what you're talking about is very powerful for business.
Right.
And a lot of times we've talked about the law of attraction and so forth on this show many times before, and other universal laws and so forth as well, where you can do everything right and still, if your attitude isn't right, if your abundance isn't right, to get in your way like that chiropractor did. So as you're talking about, what I love is the fact that not only do you have this really amazing, powerful gift where you're able to shift people out of the negativity, but that you also have some of this scientific background, this study that you've actually done and documented everything. Because I'm one of those people, you say, well, if I do such and such, whatever happens, it's really cool that you have actually tracked this and you're able to know both the effect of your work and have a way to figure out where somebody is in their own evolution and in their own process.
Right. And it's, you know, it's funny because I'm not necessarily a numbers kind of person, but I think I
did. Either.
I know. But I think I did enough of transforming companies, and I was used to having to go in and, you know, convince the CEO or the board of directors or whatever of a large company why they should make a change or why they should be nice to their customers or why they should be nice to their employees and all those kind of soft things. I learned how to present that in a way where I would get my facts together and just present the facts. I would do a customer survey or an employee survey, and I'd say, okay, I know you think all your customers are happy, but look at all these unhappy customers. These are somebody's customers, so whose are they kind of thing. And when you're laying the facts out, then it's harder for people to argue with that because, you know, a lot of what I'm talking about, people have been saying. They just haven't quantified it. They'll say a lot of our thoughts are in our subconscious. We have a lot of things that are in our way. All I did was quantify what a lot is.
Well, exactly. And, how much is a lot?
Right.
And how
exactly.
do you right? And that's what you've done. And I think there's some real power to that because part of the issue that people have with this ideas of universal laws and different things and law of attraction, I know one person in particular just says, well, law of attraction isn't like gravity because it just doesn't always work and, you know, whatever. And there's a difference of understanding about what that means, you know,
right.
how you quantify it. Always
right.
working in those kinds of things. So.
Right. Well, and actually, and see, I tend to, and I know who that person is, and I love him dearly, but I tend to disagree because the law of attraction does work. What happens is we do not see it work. We do not understand the cause and effect. We don't understand that we started a process and put it in motion, and this is the effect of it, because negativity is running the show and because we don't understand how to use our very powerful thoughts. So that's why I was starting to talk about this process I have called ROCK, and it has basically three components, and I teach people about this, is that in order for you to really, let's say, capitalize on the law of attraction, for example, and use and really become the masterpiece that you're meant to be, there's three components. R is the R means you take responsibility versus being a victim. So you are in the driver's seat, okay? But then you have to have the capacity to do that. The O is silent. The C stands for capacity, and that's where I come in. The thought shifting helps to get that capacity. The money CDs help put you in that vibration so you have a greater capacity to be able to be in that space. And then the K is the knowledge about what to do. So what most people are doing is they're teaching knowledge. But if you don't have the capacity to change, it doesn't matter. You can't
right.
implement that knowledge. And if you don't take responsibility, it doesn't matter because you're still not implementing what you've been given. So, you know, it's interesting because I've shifted a lot of people now. And, you know, there's some people, one of my clients, in fact, I'll share this with you over the holidays, she's a reshift. So I started to say my version 4 is this recipe. Well, I'm on version 36 and I started out at version 0. So I've made a lot of changes to the recipe. So I did sort of a one-time reshift group for clients that I shifted, you know, a few years ago in my initial groups and said, hey, if you want to get caught up onto the new thing. And I'm always getting new knowledge, new education, things like that. So let me catch you up. And then you guys will be, you know, caught up kind of thing. So she emailed me and she said, oh, I want to do this privately because I found this book and I started releasing negativity and it started releasing. And I thought you released negative emotions in the shift. And I said, I do. I said, oh, that's already been shifted for you. And I said, because it's already been shifted, any method that you use, as soon as you do it, it's going to go away. But I said, you just have to be okay with the fact that you can let it all go now and it'll all be gone. And she emailed me back and she goes, oh my gosh, I did that and I could literally feel it all leaving. So there was something within her where she just, the first time I shifted her and again, she just wasn't quite ready to let it go and she just had to be okay with it and as soon as she decided it just went away.
It's okay to let it go and poof, it's gone. It's just
that's
really remarkable.
That's right. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we don't do that. And even it goes to money, right? Because if we're worried that, you know, if we start rising above other people around us, that we're going to lose our friends or, you know, we feel bad, which is caretaking. I teach a lot of people about that. There's a lot of reasons why we worry about moving into the person that we're supposed to be or changing too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it does,
you know, there,
it,
yeah, there's a couple things. I mean, for one thing, you may have heard there's kind of a one of those smoked chicken things, I guess, that knowledge is power.
Uh-huh.
And if knowledge alone, that's a level of power, but if knowledge alone were all you needed, then everybody would be rich and thin and serving people and doing the right thing all the time. You know?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, that's really an important thing. But you're talking about, we also have a belief that change has to take time. There is, it's part of, certainly part of American culture, and it's part of a lot of things, that change has to be an arduous process. It has to be incremental and over time and whatever. And what you're saying, that change can happen as quick as thought, which is very fast.
Right.
And there must be that sort of resistance that can be there on different levels of, no, wait, change can't be this quick. It has to happen over time.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. And that is one of our thoughts. And people will say to me, but so-and-so said, in fact, one of my clients, she, before she joined my level 4 group, some psychic lady told her, oh, no, you have to change like a little bit every year. And I said, well, if you believe that's so. This is really up to you. And what
right.
was really happening was that psychic person, and this is terrible, but not necessarily doing it consciously, was worried she was going to lose this person as a client, and so she didn't want her to go make a really big change.
Yeah, because she wouldn't need the psychic anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Lose her cash cow.
Right, that's right. Now, you know, maybe she still would have gone to her for advice.
Exactly.
And so so that's why it's like Cody's asking, you know, well, why do you say that, or where does that come from? And, you know, ultimately mm-hmm. she decided to work with me, and she opened up a healing center and all these things that she had wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But,
wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, I see that our people will come to me and they'll go, well, I'm just, you know, I'm concerned because people say that the change can't happen that fast. And I'll just say the same thing. Well, if you think it can't happen that fast, then it probably won't.
But what if it could?
Right, exactly. That's what I tell people. I'll say, my clients, or, you know, I'll say, what if you just thought about it this way? What if you asked, what if this was so?
Mm-hmm.
Then what? Just ask, what if? It doesn't mean you have to believe it's so. You just say, well, what if that was so? Yeah, what if this was so? What if?
I love what if, because what if allows somebody to imagine that something can be different without threatening them and saying, you're wrong, this belief is wrong, it's bad, blah, blah. But saying what if just says, well, what if you could entertain that it might be a different way? It doesn't mean you have to believe it or that it has to be so, but just what if, and if the what if scenario that they run is tantalizing enough, they'll choose to move into that possibility.
That's right.
Excellent. I want to just stop and give the link out again, a couple of links that you've mentioned, and of course with you have a whole bunch of archived audios that people can listen to where you're answering questions, and you do these still live, and that's at askpamragland.com, askpamragland.com, and I will put that into the show notes as well. And we're also talking about your Be a Money Magnet, which you can get 5 videos that are free, and you can also decide to pick up the program, which is at profitablestorytelling.com/moneymagnet. Profitablestorytelling.com/moneymagnet is where you can find that program. So, Pam, as we move into, we're thinking about and talking about the things that we do to get in our own way with regard to money. What might be another interesting story or example that you have about a belief that someone may not even know about that's gotten in their way?
Oh, there's a ton of beliefs that people don't know about that get in their way. Let me think about something where... something as it relates to business. Okay, let me tell you. So when I started this business, one of my friends told me, oh, Pam, why don't you just go back to our consulting company because you know, it's a really tough time to start a business, or it's going to be really hard, and, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, it's difficult to have your own business. And, you know, I just couldn't talk to her for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's what ended up happening is I just couldn't talk to her for a while because mm-hmm. I knew that she was just going to get in the way of my dream. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to decide that we're just going to choose not to listen to the messages that other people have for us. So what's interesting is I have my business. A couple of years later, she decided to quit and go out on her own and be a coach and start her own business, which she did for maybe a year or a year and a half. She was unable to make it work, and she had to go back to the company.
Because it was hard and hard to start a business, et cetera.
That's right, because she had the idea that it was too hard to start a business and it wasn't going to work. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I couldn't let her put that idea on me, and it was hard for me to watch her live that out,
mm-hmm.
which she totally did.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, I don't know. I never really said anything to her because sometimes people are open and sometimes they're not. I never really said anything to her about that. I don't know that she's even aware that she has that thought.
Right. Yeah. But that is so. What happened was it wouldn't have mattered. She may have done everything very well in terms of setting up her business and all of that, but because she had this belief that she did not succeed with her business at that time.
That's right.
Gina yeah. tells a story often where when she literally should have been dead and when she went on this road trip to make the last year of her life the best possible and do a lot of traveling and so forth, and she was on oxygen and meds and IV drips and all kinds of stuff. And when she went to a massage therapist who said that she needed to get all the negativity out of her life, and then she would actually live longer than she had expected. One of the things that came out of that is she had to have a talk with her mother. Her mother had a lot of negativity, and what she had to say was, look, this is what I'm doing, and basically needs you to either play along or I can't talk with you for a while. And so for a long time, she didn't talk to her mother. Just like you said, you had to not have this friend around who had been a friend because she was going to be a dream stealer for you if you allowed that.
Right.
And that's an important thing to know, especially when just starting on a new venture or going after your dream or whatever. There are going to be those people around, and they may be family, they may be friends or whatever. Sometimes they're trying to, in their mind, they have your best interests at heart, and they just don't want to see you have trouble or fail, but they could be a dream stealer for you if you let them. And it's important to choose to not be around those kinds of people.
Right. Or if you are around them, you have to make sure that you're immune to that.
Right.
So, you know, I believe we can get to a place where we're around people and we're not letting them bother us or affect us, but we have
right.
to be in that place. We have to be able
yeah.
to be in that place and be conscious and go, oh, okay, I see what they're saying. I don't have to buy into that.
Right. Yeah. So if you're in that place, it's fine. It's knowing when you're going to be vulnerable to it or when you can just let it go. Well, they can choose to believe that. Doesn't have to touch me.
That's right.
There's the soul, actually, it just came to mind, so I'll share it. You know, when someone says something to you, I'm rubber, you are glue, what bounces off me sticks to you. And basically, I mean, one of the things that can come from that is I don't think you have to make the stuff they put out stick to them, but at least to let it bounce off of you. That's what you're saying. You can get to a place of being rubber, letting it bounce off of you and not have to touch you or come inside. Isn't that a funny little thing, though?
It is. You know, actually, that's kind of a great picture, though, because most of us as kids got exposed to that, you know, to that idea. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
having to teach my kids that kind of now, that they don't have to take things on that other people say or, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
that's their choice about it and that they can make
right.
a choice.
That's a shielding technique, essentially,
yeah.
but and you can teach that to your children, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I do teach people other things, other actually energetic shielding kind of things where, and I put that actually on the money CD, too. I have... There's things that I teach people that are energetic exercises to help you protect yourself from people's well-meaning or not so well-meaning negative thoughts that are coming at you. Because a lot of people are, you know, they're operating out of their own negativity, right? So they don't mean to get in your way or hold you back or be a drag or whatever. They just, they don't mean to do it, but they're doing it. And, you know, we're the ones that have to be responsible for the experience that we're having here. And we can't, I have this concept called the three pillars of power. And the first pillar is being in the driver's seat. Well, obviously when the negativity is running your life and it's in the subconscious, you're not in the driver's seat. But also when you're letting other people run your life, and there's a lot of different ways that we do that, we're not in the driver's seat. So how can we possibly expect to have a life that's the life that we want whenever we're not running it?
Mm-hmm.
We can't. We can't. If
yeah,
we get
you can't have the
get.
Life of your dreams. Yeah, you can't have the life of your dreams if you're not the one driving it.
That's right. And, you know, if you do, it's just going to be an accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you can't complain. Then it reminds me of in my kids' mommy and me class, they always say, you get what you get and you don't give a fit. Then you kind of have to just, you know, accept it. But you know, I believe that we're not here just to accept life.
Yeah.
But we're here to really have a positive experience, and we don't have to just accept it.
Right.
And
it's amazing how, see, that just shows you how early that stuff comes in, because it's these little sayings or little things, and some can be very, very nourishing and helpful, and others can be not so much, and they start being implanted into young ones.
That's right. I know. Yeah, I know. I go back and forth on that one.
Yep.
Because, you know, on the one hand, if you got a red plate instead of a blue plate, deal with it.
Well, exactly. That's what, there's the levels of degree. Yeah, you don't need to throw hissy and throw and scream and have a tantrum because you didn't get the blue plate or whatever, right?
Right. Yes, exactly.
So you mentioned that you have these three pillars of power, and the first was being in the driver's seat. Will you share the others?
Yeah, the second is being what I call energy neutral. And this involves a lot of things, but this is basically not letting people take your energy. So here's an interesting thing that I realized more recently. Energy is power and power is energy. So they're basically synonymous. So if you've got people in your life, kind of like Claudia's example, the example of Gina's example of her mom being in her life,
mm-hmm.
is that if you've got people in your life that are taking your energy, they're taking your power.
Mm-hmm.
So energy is power, power is energy. Well, money is power, so that means money is also energy. They're synonymous. So therefore, whenever you let people take your energy, you're letting them take your money.
Mm-hmm.
You're letting them take from you.
Right.
This goes back to basic algebra, right? Something equals something. So,
right.
So the second power is being the second pillar is being energy neutral, and we let people take our energy in a lot of ways. We caretake them. We give our energy. We care about what people think. There's a lot of different ways that we let people take our energy. I started incorporating this into my programs where I teach people about this and what's in their way and different ways that they let people take their energy, because the more that I become attuned to this, I look around and I'm like, oh my gosh, we just have this energy stealing going on all over the place. And a lot of times we're voluntarily giving it.
Yeah, it's not even being stolen. You
right.
get too involved with someone else, you're letting your energy walk out with that person.
That's right.
So that's a really powerful thing to know with that second pillar of power, in really realizing that money is energy, is power. All those things are equal in this little triumvirate of money, energy, and power. And so in really being aware then of where are you letting someone take energy from you, or letting them put something on you that you don't need to have, or where you're letting negativity steal your energy, and through that awareness, that'll
right.
show you a lot of where your energy is.
That's right. And the third pillar is money. because money is a reflection of our power.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens for most people is we're chasing the money and we want the money, but we're doing it without getting the other two pillars in order.
Mm.
So we can't really get to that point, not fully. I mean, we could do it like Trump. We can make money and lose it. But we can't really get to that point fully until, and I'm sure most people would be content with doing it like Trump, right? Unless you're in his shoes.
Later, that much.
I know. Unless you're in his shoes and you're losing it. You know, it's all the degree, right?
Right.
But until money is another form of our power, you
mm-hmm.
know, because in our society, that's how we view it.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
it is, and also, let me just say this one, it also is a reflection of our ability to create a change in our society. So there's a lot of different ways this power comes about. It's personal power for us, but it's also power for what we can do in our society.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes. And what you're suggesting is that with money being the reflection, that you really have to start first, not with chasing after the money, but with being in the driver's seat.
That's right.
And that is ultimately what's going to lead to bringing about the lifestyle that you want, the society that you want to have. Because it's not going to start with the money, but first of all with being in the driver's seat and then realizing the power relationship, and money is that reflection.
That's right.
Very good. So I'm just going to mention the link again for your Be a Money Magnet program, which people can find at profitablestorytelling.com/moneymagnet. profitablestorytelling.com/moneymagnet, and people can hear five free videos from you that go through different areas of focus about money and beliefs about money and so forth. And then they can also, of course, pick up the CD program that you have. And what is all included in the CD program? I know there is a money meditation that is the same meditation that you received when you went from being worried about money and being broke to having 20 grand within a couple of weeks. So there's that meditation and there's some teaching, but would you say a little bit more about what's in that program?
In the Be a Money Magnet program?
Yes.
Yes. Be a Money Magnet, there's two components of it. The starting is I'm educating you about money and why we have money, why we don't have money, you know, a lot more things than I've talked about here. And different things, and just basically helping you understand why you may have money and why you may not have money. And then the second, I don't know if it's really half, but then the rest of the program, it's maybe like two-thirds plus a third, are, I hesitate to call them meditations, they're audio exercises where I actually put you into the vibration of money. So I'm helping you to get into that space, and there's different things that I'm doing to help you get in that space, and they're all really short and simple because that's pretty much what I believe in. So I don't believe that we ought to be spending hours and hours every day doing rituals, but that instead what we ought to be doing is, you know, some of these simple tweaks that help us live our life differently, and that's why everything I do is, you know, designed to be practical and quick and effortless, and as effortless as possible. There is some education to it, but that's just because we didn't learn those things when we were younger. Ideally, we would have. So I'm educating you about money, but then I'm also putting you in, preparing you to be in the space, kind of like what I talked about earlier, some of the things where I help people get protected from negative thoughts. I found that it was most helpful to help people get protected from things before they actually went into that space. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, if I teach them to be protected, that in that space, that they can then have an easier time of getting into the vibration of money. And so I do that. I take you through. And then there's some other things that I'll take you through. And then I give you the money. There's a couple different money exercises. One of them helps you attract money and be in that vibration. The other helps you whenever you're spending money to feel better about it. because a lot of us tend to look at our current circumstance and think that that's how it is, and then, of course, we keep creating that current circumstance over and over instead of shifting out of that and shifting into the circumstance that we want to create and focusing on that.
Yes, wow, that's excellent. And you talk about putting yourself in a vibration of money. One of the things that I observe for people that especially who have maybe always struggled with money or had never really had it is they just don't know what it really is like to have enough money, have an abundance around them of whatever, money or anything else. And then if you can't imagine it, it's harder to move into the space. So what you're suggesting, what you're saying then is that your program, you put people into that energy of money and an energy of abundance so that then they can know what it is and make it easier to attract. Am I on target there?
Yeah, what I'm actually doing is helping you tune to the radio station of money. So if you imagine that you're actually just changing the dial, if lack is at, let's say, let's call it, this isn't a real radio station, but let's say lack is at 10.1 and abundance is at 107.7. What happens for most of us is the law of attraction says that you get back what you put out. So if you think of it like a boomerang, we're getting back exactly what we're putting out. The trouble is most of us don't know what we're putting out.
Right.
So if you're tuning yourself to the radio station of money, what typically you're doing is, and you're in lack and you're tuning yourself to the 10.1, you don't even know you're there.
Right.
So what I'm doing is helping tune you to 107.7, assuming that's where abundance is, so that you can be in that space, so that you can be an energetic match for money in that moment. Now, it's easier to hold that space when you've been shifted because you don't have a bunch of negative thoughts that are in your way. So if you have more negativity, you do have to repeat the exercises more often because you've got negativity in the way of that, and it's kind of taking you back down into that other radio station. But then
you're drifting backwards.
Right. But then you're at least in that space for a period of time where you're typically never in that space.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's a big difference to never be in the space of abundance and then to be able to maintain it even for a short time. At least you're training yourself, it's possible to get there. And then should someone actually decide to go through your program and your quantum thought shifting would take them to that place where that they would be able to maintain it.
That's right. That's right. So, and again, it's a combination. It's a combination of you implementing the things that you've learned, so recognizing the negativity when it comes in. Someone tells you something about money and you go, you know what, I just don't believe that. Well, you know, why do you say that? You know, why does it have to be that way? Putting yourself in that space along with being able to maintain the vibration of money while you're there. So you don't want to take on any new negativity. And that's a little tough. You know, a lot of my clients are like, man, this is hard because they'll take on, you know, a negative thought and they didn't even realize it. And that's why, again, a lot of what I do in those thought shifting programs is support. I'm educating you about identifying it so you can go, I didn't even realize I was doing that. I didn't even realize. I had no idea.
Right. Yeah, because if so much of this is subconscious, that would mean they're not really going to realize, just like that chiropractor that you mentioned earlier. You told the story about how the chiropractor was shifted in his business because he had this, all the good chiropractors don't make very much money.
Right, and that was conscious. He just hadn't recognized the beast for what it is the way I put it. So he was completely ready to, I don't want to say he was completely conscious because part of consciousness involves this educational process and understanding what's there. Like my kids are a lot more conscious because I've been teaching them. So, you know, my daughter kind of catches on to it more than my son. For the last couple of years at Yosemite, she's created, we always go on vacation to Yosemite or so far we have for like the last 5 years. And for the last 2 years in a row, she's created two or three now, it might have been, she's created seeing bears at Yosemite just because she wanted to. And the first year she saw it, and then afterwards she goes, well, Mommy, she goes, we call it focusing. I focused on that. She goes, except for I wanted to see Mama Bear and a baby bear, and I only saw a baby bear. And I said, well, how'd you put it? She goes, well, I want a Mama Bear and a baby bear to come. And I said, okay, well, sweetie, I guarantee you if there's a baby bear, there's a Mama Bear that came. So I said, you just have to say it differently. You say, I want to see the Mama Bear and the baby bear. She's like, oh. And then I remember it was maybe only like a month or two ago, my son, who's a year younger than my daughter, he said something. He's like, well, Mommy, you have to change your focusing. And he looks at me. He goes, right, Mommy? And I thought, oh, you're starting to get it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Right. But, you know, most of us didn't grow up with that. So most of us, that's creating a new habit and a new way of looking at life to be able to change our focusing to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does require practice, really. It requires practice in creating a new habit.
Right.
And again, that's why when I work with people for the thought shifting, everything is spread out over time. It'd be way easier for me to just shift people and, you know, I could put you in a room for or a day or a week or whatever and teach you all my education and then turn you loose. But I found that that is not what's most effective for people.
Yeah, I'm sure, because what you're talking about is that not only shifting people and saying, well, have a nice life, good luck, but you're actually giving people the tools to hold it because of the support that you do after the shift.
That's right.
Which is excellent. So we have about 10 more minutes here. So what I always like to do with folks is give you an opportunity. There must be something that you really feel called to share that I haven't asked you or that you want to make sure people get. So please, I would love for you to share that right now.
Right. Well, I started to talk about what we can do with the money. And, you know, what I find is for a lot of people, they'll say, oh, it's enough. Like, I have enough, or I'm happy with what I have. And
mm-hmm.
what I say is that I believe the money ought to be in the hands of the people that will do good with it. So if you're one of those people, it's almost like you have an obligation to figure out this deal of attracting more money so that you can be a positive force on this planet. And, you know, what really struck me about this is I was watching Oprah, and I love Oprah.
Uh-huh.
And Oprah was over in Africa. And I thought, and this is when she first started going over there before she built her school and all that. And she was just had a heart for these kids over in Africa. And I just thought, wow, even Oprah Winfrey doesn't have enough money
mm-hmm.
to create a change for all these kids in Africa. You know, I've said this to a couple people, and someone's like, oh, yes, she does. I'm like, no, she doesn't. That's why she started that Angel Network, so that she could
right.
start attracting other ways of getting money over there. And I
mm-hmm.
thought, wow, it's going to take a lot of money to shift the planet. And
that is, yeah.
So, you know, if you don't want the money for yourself, and there's nothing wrong with you having it for yourself, abundance is one of the universal laws. We're meant to be abundant. If you don't
uh-huh.
want the money for yourself, then think about the greater good, or even if you do, think about the greater good of the things that you can do with it. What difference would it make for you to have control of a greater amount of money versus maybe, let's say, Wall Street? Like, I was incensed, honestly, I was, when I found
mm-hmm.
out that the executives of these banks that have failed and who have gotten bailed out, who have made these bad decisions, and we could spend an entire show talking about that and stories and things like that, who've made these bad decisions that have affected people's lives, are getting $1.6 billion in bonuses. I was incensed.
Right.
So,
oh, I don't blame you. I am too.
Yeah. Is that where the money belongs?
I could go on and on about that.
Exactly. Is that where the money belongs? Or does it belong in the hands that are actually of the... I mean, I know one of my friends is a vice president of a bank, and they got that TARP money. And she said, oh, yeah, there was no stipulations, and so we used it to pay down our debt. They're not using it to help people. I just find that wrong. So, and now they're getting big bonuses. So, yeah, maybe some banks here and there are doing it, but I just, you know what, should the money be in the hands of people who are making decisions about people's lives and they don't even care that they're affecting someone's life? or should it be in the hands of someone who's going to do a good job with it, who's going to use it responsibly and treat people with dignity and things like that? I mean, some of the stories I've heard are just amazing to me.
Yeah.
And I say the latter, that the money belongs in the hands of the people that will do good with it. You know, if you're not one of those people, hey, you know, but if you are, it's almost, you yourself can affect a change on the planet simply by bringing in more money and taking a portion. It doesn't have to be a great portion to help others.
Absolutely. It's easier to be of more service to more people if you have money than if you're in a place of fear and worry or not having all of your own needs met. It's just not going to be possible for you to do as much as you could if you have money coming in.
Right. That's right. Well, and I have this kind of hierarchy of the way that those things go. We move from need to more what you might call want, but I'll call choosing. We move from not just having what we need, but things that we choose, to moving to where we realize we actually deserve the money in the first place, into abundance. And you can't shortcut that process. So you also have to know that you deserve it, that it's your birthright, that the reason the law of abundance is a universal law is because it applies to the universe, and that includes you. You're not the exception to the rule.
And you're not the one person in the universe who doesn't deserve it, shouldn't have it, right?
That's right. But most of us haven't been raised. And we've been raised with, a lot of those thoughts of, it's pious to be poor. And, you know, I mean, what do we call you if you're wealthy? We call you filthy rich. What's with that?
Who would want to be filthy? You.
Exactly.
I don't like being filthy. It makes me just want to wash my hands to even think about it,
Right, exactly. Money's dirty, exactly. All these negative ideas that we have about money.
And a lot of times they're underlying, and it's really, it's interesting when you kind of catch yourself with different little things. But that's very powerful what you're talking about, is you're getting money into the hands of people who can use it to do good things. Doesn't mean that you have to be broken, impoverished, and living on 3 grains of rice per day, but that you bring in and do something good as opposed to just hoarding it and being greedy with it like these auto industry leaders and bank people and all these other things that are going on.
Right.
It is so amazing to have you here on our show, and I already have it featured as a featured show. I'm so grateful to you for taking the time away from your busy schedule to come and speak with us. And, of course, the show is evergreen. It will be here as long as Blog Talk Radio on the Internet exists, so that is a good thing. People can always receive this teaching and be a money magnet. You will be able to find you now at askpamragland.com. You have a time each week where people are able to come and ask you questions, and you have a year of archived audios. Is that right?
That's right. Well, it's all of my audio since I've been doing that show, so it will be more than a year after. It just keeps going. And I also do a Ustream, so if people want to see the Ustream instead of the listen in on the phone call, they can do that as well, or some people do both.
Okay, so where is your, you have a Ustream channel you should tell people, or?
It's Pam Ragland, and if they go to the AskPamRagland.com, they receive information about the Ustream as well.
Excellent. So they can go to AskPamRagland.com and hear your live show as well as find out how to see your Ustream. And the Be a Money Magnet program that we've been talking about, and it's just, what if you could easily and effortlessly move into a place where you and money are at the same vibration so that you can attract it. And people can find that at profitablestorytelling.com/money magnet. That's profitablestorytelling.com/money magnet. And Pam, when I first met you at a live event, see, I'm very sensitive to people's energy and so forth, and when I first met you, I was like, wow, this is a person who is absolutely changing lives. and doing wonderful things in the world, and I really want to get to know this person. So I'm very excited to know you and look forward to getting even better acquainted. And I know you've talked a little bit with Gina and with her husband, as we all met at the same event. So this will be great, and thank you so much once again for being our guest here on Relationship Marketing 101 Radio.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And it was a pleasure, yes, meeting you and seeing you again, and Gina and her husband, and I look more forward to more.
I do, too. I absolutely do, too. Well, thanks again, and I'll just tell people and really quickly in wrapping up that we have some amazing guests who are coming to our show. We always do. We've had amazing guests in the past, and some of the people we have coming up include Eric Stafford, the Faster Webmaster, and we actually have Mark Joyner, who will be our guest next month. So we just have really great things happening here on Relationship Marketing Radio, and Gina will be back with us next week after she comes off of the Entrepreneur's Cruise. So this has been Juana Del Baccio, the Story Lady of ProfitableStorytelling.com, wishing you tremendous abundance and a good business and attracting lots of money.